It's June 16th, 2021, and this is Taking the Temperature. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz. I'm phoning around, checking in on people in the biggest geographical health region in the province. And I'm going to start with the person in charge of it all, CEO Helga Brandt.
Hi, Helga. It's Bruce. How are you today?
I'm well, Bruce. Good morning.
I'm calling around taking temperatures, and I'm wondering, what are you thinking about today?
Well, Bruce, you know, there's a couple of things. June is always an important month in Manitoba, in Canada. It is Indigenous Month. And of course, June 21st being National Indigenous Day is always very important, particularly in northern Manitoba. I'm just really looking forward to an initiative that actually Grand Chief Satie and myself and our two respective organizations have agreed. We have agreed that we are going to declare that we will be eliminating anti-Indigenous racism in the North. And we went out a few weeks ago with a press release and a news conference around that. We will be declaring jointly and publishing a declaration that we commit to do this. It is a logical next step, particularly when we think of all of the harms that have been done in the past and continue to be done. You know, we have the recent example of the 215 children in Kamloops, and we know there will be more as there's more and more work being put towards looking at other residential schools and potentially unmarked, undocumented graves of children. So it's just very timely and really exciting to be able to be part of this with MKO and with Grand Chief. So lots more to come on that, but it just seemed appropriate to put that out there today. So that's one of the things that has really been on my mind. And the second thing, I was really encouraged last week when Manitoba revealed its 4-3-2-1 Great Manitoba Summer Program. It's timed around our three summer long weekends, July 1st, the August long and September long, and it connects the vaccination update percentages with a reopening percentage. And of course, part of that is the vaccination cards. And we can all apply for that after we get our second dose and after that magic 14 days has elapsed. So I encourage everybody, get double vaccinated, get those cards. And of course, then there is the teaser of the lottery. Somebody in northern Manitoba that will win $100,000 once they've been doubly vaccinated. So those two things are, for me, something to look forward to, very positive activities that give energy and that just show that we're moving forward as a North and as a health region.
We used to talk a lot, but lately we just haven't connected. I think it's time I reached out to Chief Indigenous Officer Charlene Lafreniere. Hey, Char, I was just talking to Helga and she was mentioning anti-Indigenous racism and what our organization is.
Oh, awesome.
And her talk about that made me think about the Thompson Urban Aboriginal Strategy, which I know you've been involved with for quite a while. And this almost feels like it sort of builds on some work that they did, or there's lots of synergies there. So where's TUAS at these days?
Oh, wow. I'm the chairperson of the Thompson Urban Aboriginal Strategy currently. And like everybody else, we're doing those COVID adjustments. Still, we're meeting, getting together, strategizing, working, ensuring the Thompson Indigenous Accord is in action within the city and our partners. But I think what comes to mind, like right now, is June 21st, which is National Indigenous Peoples Day. I think we all know it's going to look a little different this year. And our community partners have done amazing planning over the years. We can just imagine right now over at City Hall, McLean Park, 1,000 people listening to music, celebrating, being happy, being proud, truth and reconciliation in action. You know, it's just been a beautiful day in our community. So I think I'd just love to encourage people, anyone listening, to just find their way to still celebrate that day. We won't all be down at McLean Park together, but, you know, there's going to be stuff going through our social media, you know, click on some virtual opportunities. if it's a really beautiful sunny day like today that we're talking on, Bruce, you know, maybe we could spend time with our families and talk about important topics and just share and celebrate who we are as Indigenous people in the North. I think there's a lot of people doing work right now across our organizations to try and have some fun things going on June 21st that are COVID friendly.
Couldn't agree more. Cook some good food. And you're right, let's have some of those conversations. National Indigenous Peoples Day got the best one, June 21st, like, man, the longest day of the year. There's other days we celebrate, but man, that's the greatest one. So yeah, let's get out and enjoy it one way or the other.
Absolutely. And we always have joked around as a community that that day is almost always beautiful weather.
Nickel Day sucks. And that's always beautiful. It's crazy. Hey, thanks for talking to me today, Char. Hopefully we can talk again soon.
Yeah, you know what, Bruce? I'd love to talk more about the anti-Indigenous racism strategy and the Wisdom Council as we move forward. Come check my temperature again one day, please.
Oh, I'm so excited about the Wisdom Council. I know you and I have talked about that lots. And so that's a nice teaser for a future episode. Perfect.
Awesome. Take care.
You bet. Bye-bye. Helga's comments and talking to Char got me thinking about many of our largely Indigenous communities in the North, how spread out we are, and our challenges with battling COVID. One of our newest nurses, Caitlin Nort, did something pretty cool last week. I think I'll check in with her on how it's going in public health and get that story. Morning, Caitlin. I was hoping I could take your temperature today. How are you doing?
Good morning, Bruce. I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Hey, I know you just recently made the switch over from the ER to public health. How long have you been nursing?
I started in August 2017 in the emergency department right out of university.
Wow. And you went to UCN here or did you go away and come back?
I went to UCN.
So a couple years in the ER and then just recently you moved over to public health. So how's the switch been? What's the difference between those two pieces of our puzzle?
Well, I feel like the biggest switch has been the shifts. When you're in the emergency department, you're working days, you're working nights, your shifts are kind of all over the place. Sometimes you have 2 days off, sometimes you have 3 days off. So the biggest switch has been just, you know, not working those night shifts anymore.
And is that good or bad? Some people like the night shifts. I couldn't handle it, I don't think.
It's been good so far. I've been able to kind of get into a better routine with my personal life, which has been really great. I guess one of the other big switches would be, you know, the clientele I'm seeing. I'm seeing some of the same patients in public health that I was seeing in Emerge, but it's in a totally different context.
Yeah. Totally. No, that's oh, yeah. So it was a little bit of a soft landing, some familiar faces, if you want to call them that, but some new skills to learn for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The case investigation at the beginning, I was asking my coworkers about a million questions every 3 seconds. So they've been good sports about it.
Your work just took you in a little bit of a different direction. Tell us about the trip last week.
I was super excited. I've never done anything like that where I've gotten on a plane and been able to kind of just go. And We went to Thicket, we landed, we got to the health center. The staff were amazing. One of the staff there, Gail, took us all around town and we swabbed everybody who wanted to be swabbed. So that was an experience that you don't get, especially in Emerge. So
so you were in Thicket Portage. I think it was 53 people you guys swabbed in an afternoon. You must have been like running from door to door in town. Or how did you guys manage that?
We did 58 and Gail took us around in her truck and took us to the houses that needed to be done. And then we hit people on the street as we could. So it was awesome. Okay.
That's frontline nursing in a pandemic. I don't think it gets any more grassroots than that.
Nope, not at all. I'm learning a lot and I'm really enjoying it so far.
Thanks for talking to me today, Caitlin. That was great.
Thanks, Bruce.
Caitlin's just starting her journey with us. Kelly Elvin, a scheduler in Flin Flon? Not so much. She's done a whole bunch of things, and I think it'd be nice to go back and talk to her about them. You've had quite an interesting journey through your career and through different parts of the Regional Health Authority. Do you mind telling me what you've all done with us?
Oh, okay. Well, I started out in 1993 as a healthcare aide. Did that for a few years, and then a few doors started opening up, and I trained to be a rehab assistant in the physiotherapy department. At one point, I was an admin assistant for a couple years. then went into home care, and I was a resource coordinator, so I supervised about 35 girls out in the field, made their schedules and orientated and such.
Oh, wow.
That job got a little bit stressful for me, so I chose to leave, and I actually went into EMS for 5 years. And I was EMT in Cranberry Portage, Manitoba for 5 years.
Who picks EMT as a job that's less stressful than something else?
It was always something that I wanted to do. And I knew quite a few of the people that worked for EMS, so it was an easy adjustment to make. So, yeah, it was a little bit stressful, of course, but it's a different stress.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how you can say that, but you have a good feeling when you've had a good call. And unfortunately, they weren't all good. I mean, that's what EMS is all about. But I really thoroughly enjoyed that job. But I was also working out of town for 5 years, and it was a little bit hard on my husband. So I just decided that, you know, this doesn't look like I'm going to get to come to Flin Flon. So I think it's maybe just time for me to move on. And then when I decided to move on, I came back into scheduling, which I had done previously. I was fortunate that I had a lot of people confront me and ask me if I wanted to train for different jobs. So I never said no, because I love to learn new things. So I was actually very fortunate to be one of those people that held quite a few positions. And it's been great. Now I'm in the scheduling office, which can be stressful, probably one of the most challenging jobs I've ever had. We have a shortage of nurses right now, so it's making my job a little bit hard. I schedule all the nursing for the hospital, for both of our personal care homes, and I also schedule for the Snow Lake Health Center. So I'm looking at quite a few nurses.
How does a day look? So when you get to work, is there a big stack of emails or something like that saying, these are all the things we've got to cover? And is that the first part of your day? Do you sort of just get there and wonder, what's it going to be like? Or is there a bit more routine to it than that?
Well, I usually try to organize myself so I kind of know what I'm walking into the next day. I have to do that because this job is so busy. And there's three of us in the scheduling office. So there's three phones going off all day long. So you've got to learn to get yourself organized, and you have to know how to multitask. So I pretty much organize myself the day before, so I know exactly what I'm coming in. I mean, there are unexpected things that happen. We have no control over that. So then you just deal with them, and your head goes down, and next thing you know, your head goes up, and it's time to go home. That's basically what I do all day long, and I fill shifts.
And, you know, I can say it's one of those sort of unsung roles that really keeps things ticking along, but a lot of people just don't know you're there. And as a manager who, when I first started here, we did our own scheduling. And I remember when we went to this central scheduling idea, I know it's very stressful for you, but for a lot of the managers and other people, it sure takes a load off our plate. And to have somebody who's a professional and knows what they're doing all the time, whereas if you're a manager, you sort of do some scheduling and you don't, I know we super appreciate it.
We're actually going to be moving into centralizing our scheduling office too.
Oh, wow.
That's coming to us in the fall. So we're all very excited about that.
I've been asking a whole bunch of people about their vaccine experience. Have you been vaccinated, and how did it go, if you don't mind talking about it?
Oh, not at all. I managed to get through that awful system I thought was at first to try and get the vaccine. And then I finally did get a hold of a human being on the line and made my appointment in March. But then I found out that I was also receiving cortisone shots in my lower back that I've been waiting for a few years. So I thought, you know what, I better call Thompson Pain Clinic and ask them if I should even be getting this. And as it turned out, no, I wasn't allowed to have it 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after. So unfortunately, I had to cancel my COVID appointment. And then once the 2 weeks was over, I was able to get the AstraZeneca at our PharmaSave here, and I got immunized on that. But now I'm awaiting this week another cortisone shot. So now I got to wait for another 2 weeks after the cortisone shot, and I will be getting my second one. Unfortunately, I won't get AstraZeneca, though. I'll get Moderna.
It's nice, though, especially for folks like you that we can cross those over, so you don't have to wait much longer for the AstraZeneca.
No. Anytime after July 1st, I can go. So I'll be making an appointment as soon as those dates open, and I'll be getting mine.
Day after Canada Day, mark it on the calendar.
Yeah. My husband's already double vaccinated, so.
Super. So happy to hear that. And thanks again for all your hard work and for telling us a little bit about your journey through the RHA. It was great talking to you.
You too. Have a great day.
That's the end of my shift for today. Taking temperatures anyways. Back to the rest of my job, I suppose. It was great talking to Helga, Char, Caitlin at the start of her journey, and Kelly with retirement on the horizon. Thanks for joining me, taking the temperature of the NRHA.